joins us right now on the Fanatic Flyers Weekly, Brian Boucher. Brian, I know you're driving up to Rhode Island, to your old stomping ground, so I appreciate you taking a few minutes for us here today. But the start of the season and the start of the NHL career for Carter Hart has been pretty darn impressive.
It has, yeah. Happy holidays to you, Jason. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, for a guy that, you know, coming into the minors, it's an adjustment from junior hockey. Obviously, there was, you know, some bumpy play there with the Phantoms. But getting an opportunity to come up and play in the National Hockey League, obviously the adrenaline is pumping. You're fired up. And it couldn't have gone any better than it did for him. I think in the first game, a real solid team effort in front of him helped him kind of like get his legs underneath him. And then in game two, I thought it was more of the same through the first half of the game, but then the penalties started to add up, and, you know, he was called upon to make some big saves. That wasn't just a situation where the team played great in front of him. I mean, he was called upon to make some saves, caught a break at the end where it goes off the post, and all in all, you got yourself a nice start to your NHL career. So couldn't go any better for him. The question will be, how long will it last, and how long will the team continue to respond with him in the net?
You know, the interesting thing, Brian, is when you look at this team, their identity, if you will, over the past couple of years has been inconsistency. So to see a period of time where the team's buying in, doing the right things, and obviously when a coach is fired, things change and everybody's on notice, but if they can maintain that, then obviously they're a different team. But talk about, you played the WHL. You came up with the Tri-City Americans in the mid-90s. You made that jump to the AHL and then the NHL. Talk about the difference in what that's like for a goaltender going from the WHL to the AHL, then to the NHL.
Yeah, I found the jump from junior to the minors was bigger than the jump from minors to the National Hockey League. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, some off-ice stuff. You know, when you're in junior, you're living with a billet family, and a lot of the stuff is taken care of for you outside of the rink. You really don't have to pay a mortgage. You don't have to pay a rent. You know, maybe you got a car payment. You probably don't because you bought the thing cash with your signing bonus. So there's not a lot, you know, there's not a lot that you have to really worry about, right, away from the rink. It's just go to the rink, play. But when you become a pro, I mean, now you've got to, you know, juggle some adult responsibilities, and that can be an adjustment. You're moving from where you were comfortable playing for the last 3 years, where he was in Everett, Washington. Now he's coming to Pennsylvania and having to deal with that, so your surroundings are different. And then in the American League level, let's be honest, I mean, it can be a scrambly game at times. There's a lot of unpredictability in the game in the minors, a lot of young guys there as well, and so it can be scrambly. When you get to the National Hockey League, I felt like I was coming up to a veteran team, you know, that was locked in, and they really took care of me. I mean, they protected me in goal, made me look good, and it felt like an easier game. I got into trouble years down the road when I started to put a little bit too much pressure on myself. But for a guy like Carter Hart and what he's been able to do, I think the response by the team was appropriate in the two games that he's played. I mean, their attention was grabbed. They needed to grab some smelling salts and wake it up a little bit. You know, from a change at the GM position to a change at the coaching position, now calling up Carter Hart. I mean, a lot of guys were on notice. They needed to respond, and I think they responded in a real appropriate manner. And I think there's enough talent on this team that it's sustainable for a time being. I mean, look, Carter's going to have a bad game once in a while. The question will be is when those guys are healthy, Elliott and Neuvirth, what's the plan here? Are they going to keep Carter Hart playing because he's playing well, or are they going to try and get the veterans back in there? And if that's the case, he's got to go back down to the minors. I don't want to see him sitting for four games at the NHL level. But if he continues to play lights out, I'd say ride the kid. As long as the team is responding in the way they are, this team is desperate for wins, let him be the guy to carry the mail.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations that they're really going to have their finger on that pulse to figure out, hey, things may be trending in a different direction here. Now's the time to maybe lean on a veteran. But we're talking with Brian Boucher on the Comcast Business Hotline, Fanatic Flyers Weekly, former NHL goaltender and now NHL on NBC. You see goaltenders all over the league, Boosh. I mean, you're at ice level. You're in the Western Conference, all over the NHL, and you've seen the best, the Pekarinnes, Martin Jones in the Western Conference. You see guys like Lundqvist and Carey Price in the Eastern Conference. When you look at Carter Hart's game and his technical ability, that's what he's got to lean on when things go poorly for him. And that's he's light years ahead of where many kids his age are technically at the position.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there. I think from a technical standpoint, he's got all the tools. I mean, he is quiet in the net. He's not big like maybe, you know, a Hellebuck or a Rene in that size manner, but he seems to be, you know, like your 6'2"-ish type of guy. But from a technical standpoint, he's very solid. Very few holes from what I've seen so far. His post play seems to be impeccable. The question always with goaltenders, is what's between the ears. And when things start to, dip a little bit, confidence dips a little bit, how quickly can you round back into form, and not let a 2-game bump turn into a 4-5-game, 6-game losing streak where now the play starts to dip and you're worried about whether or not the confidence is there. I think that type of stuff is inevitable for a young guy. Those are the growing pains that you have to go through. And that's why, initially, I would say I want this guy in the minors to have those dips be at the minor league level where they're not, the mistakes are not so profound. But you're at a point now in this season for the Flyers where they are desperate. They need wins. They need somebody to come in and do a job for them. And Carter Hart, coming in with the first 2 games that he's played, has proven to do that. The team has responded in such a positive way that now I think you kind of, like you said, you got to monitor this situation when those guys get healthy as to how this is going to play out. But his technical side of his game, I think, is his strongest suit right now. The mental side, I think, is always going to be a work in progress until he gets enough games under his belt that he has experience to rely upon.
Brian Boucher with us on Fanatic Flyers Weekly. When you look at this team and things in the Eastern Conference, the Metropolitan Division hasn't run away, you know, from the Flyers despite the poor play. You've been on teams in your career where the coach was fired midseason. What is the effect that has on the locker room, just off the ice? And then what is the effect that it has on the ice for you guys? Because you were here when John Stevens was fired and Peter Laviolette was brought in. You were here, you know, you've had these experiences through your career. Sometimes the coaching change has a profound effect for it to be a positive for a team, like you were seeing in Edmonton with Ken Hitchcock, but most times it doesn't. And is that just because, really, the coach got fired because the team isn't very good?
In some cases, if there's really no change in the way the team plays, that might be an indication that the personnel on the team is not there. Right? The players are not that good, and they need to evaluate the players. It was a desperate attempt to try and change how things are going, but it just, sometimes the players just, it isn't the right mix of players, or maybe you don't have enough talent, maybe you don't have enough grit, whatever it is. But I can tell you that when a coaching change occurs, whatever routine you did have with the prior coach, everything has changed. Now, meeting times might change, systems might change. So whatever routine you were in, and if you didn't like it or if you just felt like you were on cruise control, you're now all of a sudden forced to snap out of it because the routine changes. That's where people talk about different voice in the room. That's the voice. The voice changes because now meeting times change. There's new systems to think about. Maybe if you were in some bad graces with the prior coach, now you've got a new lease on life where maybe you can, get a chance with the new coach to earn a little bit more ice time, a little bit more trust. So that might kickstart you a little bit. Whereas before you might have felt like defeated when you came to the rink. Like you just know you had no chance to impress the old coach. Well, maybe now you have a chance. So there's something to get fired up about. And I think that's when general managers fire coaches, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for somebody to kind of wake up. And it could be a 5% difference in your approach to the game. But a 5% difference collectively can go a long way to earning victories. I mean, the way this team has played in the last 2 games and their desperation level to block shots, the attention to detail, their PK seemed to be a little bit more aggressive when it needed to be, but a more of a commitment to get it in shooting lanes. I mean, that's the type of hockey that you need to play in order to win at the most important time of year. And the most important time of the year is in the springtime. But I'll tell you right now, the Flyers are in that mode right now where they got to win games. They have to get to that type of game a lot sooner than maybe some other teams because of the situation they're in. But they're not out of it, because if you look at the points that they got to make up, they're right there. They get hot, and we could be talking about being in the top three in the Metro.
Yeah, you win 7 of 8, and all of a sudden you go from the outhouse into the penthouse, at least area. Brian Boucher joining us for a further couple moments. Boosh, you know this, and having played the position, forwards, when they know that they can't get a stop from their goaltender should they make a mistake, play the game a different way, which adds a tremendous amount of pressure, which you alluded to earlier about putting pressure on yourself. But when they know there's a goalie back there that can bail them out should they make a mistake in trying to be creative offensively, it changes everything about a team, really from every positional player all the way back to the goalie and the way they approach every game.
It does. And as a goaltender, you know that. And you know when you're a guy that, the team doesn't believe in. It's a bad feeling as a goaltender because you're trying to earn the trust of your teammates. You want them to play to their best, to the best of their abilities, and go out and feel like they don't have to be perfect every time, that you can be there to bail them out. So as a goaltender, that's the accountable side that you feel to your teammates, to be that type of goaltender for your team, to make that timely save when there's a breakdown. But on the flip side of it, I think players in this situation with Carter, they know he's a young guy and they know he's a talented guy. And I'm sure they feel like this guy can make a save for us. We know that. We know he's got all the talent and the pedigree that we've seen. But they know that as a young guy in the National Hockey League, it's a good league and you got to protect this kid. You got to give him a chance to get comfortable, to gain confidence save by save, so that, maybe 5, 6, 7 games down the road, you see that save that you're talking about, if they just kind of like say, you know what, Carter Hart's here, he's going to bail us out, that's not how it works. You got to help him help you. So they did a good job in the first 2 games. I think they still have to continue to buckle down defensively, protect the middle of the ice, give him a chance to feel comfortable. Yeah, I heard the quotes from Carter Hart saying that he had a lot less anxiety in game 2. He's really nervous in game 1, and that's to be expected. But he's still going to feel nervous at the start of games here in the early going. So give him a chance to feel good, and in the end, I think he's going to reward you with some timely saves and allow this team and allow the offensive guys to go do their thing and put the puck in the net.
Yeah, and it's amazing. He comes out for warm-up in his first game, and the first save he made in warm-up was met with cheers.
You just knew that was going to be the case. But,
yeah.
I mean, how good does that feel as a goaltender? You come in here and have that type of reception, and then to follow it up with a victory, that's the key, right? I mean, he could have done that and gone in there and been so nervous and give up 5 goals and they lose, and it could have been a totally different experience.
Yeah.
So credit to him for getting the job done. Credit to the team for protecting him the way that they did. And now it's about building off of that positive momentum.
Yeah, and really the amazing thing is in that first game, 18 minutes of that third period, it was a 1-goal game. The entirety of the third period in the second game was a 1-goal game. Well, those are high-pressure situations for a young goalie and a team that's trying to get it straightened out.
Yeah, and as a goalie, I can speak to this. I mean, when it's a 1-goal lead, you're looking at that clock, and that clock is going down. It seems even slower. You can't wait for that time.
Flowing uphill, Boosh.
Oh, my gosh. It is terrible. But I'll tell you, the second game I really liked. I really thought that was a real gutsy effort from the goalie on out, the penalty killers. I mean, Provorov was in the box for a long time. They lost Couturier as well. For a little bit of time on their PK, and they really gutted it out. Like, that to me is a character victory, that when you get back inside that locker room, that's the type of stuff that galvanizes the team, and kind of makes you feel like, you know what, boys, we can do this. So it's inside that room, the leadership, to make sure that type of feeling is bottled up every time they come to the rink to start a new hockey game. You can't let that fall away. They've dug a little bit of a hole. They don't want to dig themselves a bigger hole by not responding to situations like that.
Yeah, no question. Last question for Brian Boucher, and thanks for joining us, Boosh. Happy holidays to you and your family. Question is, anything that you see in his game that you'd like to see him maybe sharpen up a little bit? Do you feel like he's maybe going down a little early where you can get away with that in the junior and AHL level? In certain situations, you like to keep his edges a little more because his his positional play is pretty flawless. But is there anything you see that you get? He may want to tighten that area up because it could get exposed at some point. That just the two games that you've seen.
Yeah, truthfully, I mean, it's too small of a sample size for me to, you know, to really make a, you know, an assessment like that. Yeah, I mean, I think in general, what I would say, I've never been a huge fan of goalies being down on the ice unnecessarily. Like, I always think you can move better if you're on your feet. You can get from point A to point B quicker. But if a guy is more comfortable doing that, there's no reason to go in and change it, you know, just because I have a thought, you know. If a guy feels more comfortable doing that's where, as a goalie coach, you've got to talk to your goaltender and pick his brain and see where he's more comfortable on his feet or down. And if you feel like over time, and you know, I'm talking over time, maybe half a season, quarter of a season, you know, the same thing repeatedly keeps happening and you're giving up goals, then you say, hey, look, I'm going to give you a suggestion here. I think maybe you should look to be on your feet a little bit more.
Change your depth or something like that.
Yeah, right. But I'll tell you, I think technically he's been good. I don't think he plays deep. I think he plays at the right depth in the first two games that I've seen. I haven't really seen, you know, rebound control to be an issue. If he was nervous, yeah, I couldn't really tell. I mean, I think he did a great job. Again, it's only two games, so I'm not going to, you know, rest my laurels on that. But so far, so good. And credit to him. I mean, he's a talented kid. You can see he's got all the tools. The stuff between the ears is the most important part for a young goaltender. He's 20 years old. People can't expect this guy to go out and run 25 straight wins. I mean, he might do it, but I would say it's more likely that he's going to hit a bump in the road. No need to panic. That's normal for a young guy. But while it's going well, it's going to be fun to watch him.
Yeah, no question. He's become a spectacle as well. Boosh, we appreciate it, man. Have a great holiday. We'll definitely talk to you coming up in the new year, and enjoy it. We'll be watching you on the NHL and NBC, as we always do, and we appreciate you taking the time today.
All right, Jason. Be well. Thanks.
There he is, Brian Boucher on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.